Hello, and welcome to the Bingeables Podcast, a podcast for geeky TV junkies where we watch TV shows you just have to binge on. We're your hosts, Chinlin
and Jim.
Welcome, Jim, to the Bingeables Podcast. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm excited to be here.
Would you like to take this moment to introduce yourself and your podcast to our listeners?
I'd love to. So hello, everyone out there in podcast land. I'm Jim. I'm the guy who most often plays the role of the hater on the Fanboy and the Hater podcast, where we cover the best and the worst in movies, TV, and pop culture. You can find our podcast everywhere that you get podcasts on all major players and platforms.
What are some of your favorite things to do outside of watching TV and film?
When I'm not watching TV and film, I love board games and disc golf. So much so that I played board games last night, and after this, I'm going disc golfing.
I've never played disc golf.
It's basically an excuse to take a walk in nature.
Okay, all right.
There just happens to be a metal basket at the end of your walk that you can throw a plastic disc into if you want to.
All right. I learned something new today. What are some of your favorite TV shows and movies?
I am a huge science fiction geek. I mean, pretty much anything science fiction, but big time into Star Wars and Star Trek. But I'm also a huge funny TV junkie. So, like shows such as Superstore, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, The Good Place, What We Do in the Shadows. But if it's funny TV or like almost any kind of sitcom, I'll at least give it a try.
Okay, so are you caught up on What We Do in the Shadows?
I have not started season two yet, but I did watch all of season one. I love that show. I'm anxiously looking forward to watching season two. I just haven't gotten there yet.
Okay, got it. So there's only 5 episodes so far. I actually just caught up on it like earlier this morning. And this is a great segue into our next segment. But before I continue yapping away, would you like to let our listeners know where they can find you on social media?
Well, we pretty much exclusively use Twitter, so you can find us at Fanboy and Hater.
All right, so moving on to our next segment, Whatcha Bingin'? I just mentioned that I caught up on season 2 of What We Do in the Shadows on Hulu. So far, there's only 5 episodes. I think season 1 had 12 or 13 episodes, so I imagine season 2 is probably going to have the same amount. Still a great show, still very quirky. I love me some vampire shit. Actually went through a Twilight phase when I was in middle school and high school.
I wonder if that's a generational thing. I was older then, so I never. I do like some vampire stuff, but I never got into Twilight. Which, you know, side note, I found it funny that there was actually a Twilight related thing in one of the episodes of Parks and Rec. But I'm getting ahead of myself. But I never really got into Twilight.
You know what? That's okay, because I would never recommend someone to read it as an adult.
What, would you recommend the movies, though?
No.
So I'm not missing anything, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, no, not at all. I mean, basically, the only pop culture reference that you'll hear about directly relating to Twilight is that the vampires sparkle. But we're going off on a tangent.
And I think they were like one of the few vampire franchises that weren't spoofed in the first season of What We Do in the Shadows. They had that wonderful episode where they had like almost everyone who's been in something vampire related was in the Vampire Council.
That's right. Oh man, totally forgot about that.
They even had Wesley Snipes on Skype.
Hell yeah. But yeah, so I caught up on that show. I highly recommend it whenever you get the time. I also recently binged on the first three seasons, now four and a half, of American Housewife. It is a family comedy on ABC. They're currently on their fourth season, so they're pretty much wrapping up. It's just a nice family comedy to watch. I love a lot of comedies on ABC. They're really funny, and it's just something nice to play in the background where you don't want to focus all of your mental energy on it, but you can still enjoy it, if that makes sense.
It does. That's actually how and probably why I consume as many sitcoms as I do.
So what have you been recently binging on, Jim?
Well, weirdly, for some reason, on Netflix, I would guess that I'm probably much older than you. Next year, I turn 50. So I was flipping through Netflix a couple of months ago, and I saw some old, well, what are now older sitcoms, but I remember watching them when they were on broadcast television. And one of them was Cheers, and I grew up in Boston, Massachusetts, which is where Cheers is set. So for some reason, I decided to rewatch both Cheers and then its spinoff show, Frasier, which is basically each one of those had 11 seasons. And over, I think, the course of the last 6 months, I binge watched all of both of them.
So I've never watched Cheers, but I did watch Frasier. The first time I watched it was, well, no, actually, let me rewind a little bit. Growing up in the late 90s, early 2000s, I did catch a few episodes, but they were usually just like late at night, so I never really like got into it. They were just on TV, and if I was bored, they were on. After I finished school and I had like winter break in between semesters or something, I had like 2 weeks of free time and it was cold and I was stuck at home. So I watched Frasier on Netflix. I binged the entire show in 2 weeks.
Wow, that's impressive.
I know, right? 11 seasons. I think that's like my best record. And I'm not even somebody who keeps track of how long it takes for me to binge something. But I was particularly proud of my binge of Frasier. So I also really enjoy that show. And I recently rewatched it, not too recently, but probably like a few months ago before COVID started. I rewatched it and I was like, man, I mean, obviously parts of it are really during its time, if that makes sense. But otherwise, like, I really enjoy the characters. I love the fact that I can learn new words from Frasier and Niles. But yeah, it's a fun one.
Yeah, it's the more sort of, I guess, for lack of a better term, collegiate and uptight version of the original character on Cheers. So yeah, Frasier is a little bit more, I should say, a lot more intellectual. But if you want to talk about a show that was very much of its time, Cheers does not hold up as well. I mean, Cheers came out, was 11 years before, Frasier ran for 11 years, but it ran after Cheers, and Cheers was on for 11 years. So it's another decade before. And there's a lot of cringeworthy stuff in Cheers from today's perspective. It didn't seem bad then, but some of it definitely does not hold up well, especially the treatment of women does not hold up well at all in Cheers.
Well, I mean, honestly, I feel the same way about a lot of shows in the 90s and early 2000s. So, I mean, it was what it was. It's not like they can go back and change it. But we as viewers can understand that it's cringeworthy now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, for Cheers, it's going back into the 80s, so it's even worse. But yes, yeah, we can understand why it is the way it is now. But yeah, it's this stuff that is like, wow, that would be something that they would never do now. It was still funny. It's still a good show to rewatch. But yeah, sometimes those things catch you off guard when you watch older sitcoms or older television in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so now we are going to move on to the show that we're introducing in this preview episode. We are here to talk about the satirical government comedy Parks and Recreation. The show ran on NBC from 2009 to 2015. And this is our spoiler-free preview, where we'll give a spoiler-free overview of the show and why we think geeks and ultimately everyone should watch it.
So Parks and Recreation, to give people the very brief official synopsis if you've never heard of the show, it centers on the rather absurd antics of a fictional Indiana town's public officials as they pursue sundry projects to make their city a better place. It is light political satire, and it's filmed in a mockumentary-type format. So if you are thinking, hey, doesn't that sound an awful lot like The Office? Especially the mockumentary and workplace comedy part. It is very similar to The Office, which really probably shouldn't be surprising because in its early planning, it was literally going to be a spinoff of The Office.
The show has two co-creators, Greg Daniels and Michael Schur. Greg Daniels, he is most known for his other creation, King of the Hill, and he was also a writer on The Office. And Michael Schur, if anyone is a fan of The Good Place and you've listened to our Good Place episodes, you'll recognize his name. He also created The Good Place and he created Brooklyn Nine-Nine. So you are a huge fan of Mike Schur, Jim.
Yes, I love The Good Place. The Good Place, we've done an episode on The Good Place, both Mike, my co-host Mike, not Mike Schur. I don't know him personally, unfortunately. But we actually think that The Good Place is the greatest television comedy ever. We love The Good Place. And I'm a huge fan of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. So yeah, that's probably, actually, both of the creators of this show, I'm big fans of most of the stuff they've done. I was a big fan of King of the Hill. I wasn't a huge fan of The Office, but I did enjoy The Office. So it doesn't surprise me, given the fact that they're the two guys behind, co-creators of the show, that this would have been a show that it would have been weird if I didn't like this show because I liked the other stuff that they had been involved with.
Yeah. So now we're going to dive into the cast members and who they play and what the actors have also been in so that you can recognize them. But, I mean, hopefully everybody knows who Amy Poehler is. She plays our main character, Leslie Knope, the infamous workaholic of the Parks Department in Pawnee, Indiana, in the show. Amy Poehler is, obviously, she's been in Saturday Night Live. She and her best friend Tina Fey worked together in the movie Baby Mama. And Amy is currently voicing as the mom, Annie, in the show, or not show, in the animated series, Duncanville.
That's about the only thing of hers I probably am not familiar with. So what is Duncanville?
It's basically another family-centric animated series about a teenage guy named, or I guess preteen guy? I don't remember his age, but the main guy, his name is Duncan. He has he lives in the suburbs with his parents and his two younger sisters. Yeah, and it's basically about, it takes place in our present time, so everybody's using social media and all that good stuff. It's just about his adventures in the town, I guess. I don't really know how else to explain it.
Now that you just said that, I think I have at least seen commercials for it. But at first, it's like the name Duncanville did not immediately register with me. But I think I have seen commercials for that.
I do recommend it. It's currently streaming on Hulu.
I'm always on the lookout. I love animated stuff, too. So if it's an animated comedy, that's probably something I would like. So I'll have to check that out.
Oh, yeah. I love it. I highly recommend it. If you've watched Modern Family, the guy who plays Phil on Modern Family, he voices the dad in Duncanville.
Oh, that's an awesome combination.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, it just ended. I was a big fan of Modern Family. So the second, so that was Amy Poehler, which people probably were familiar with before when the show first came out. I'm not sure how much the next one was, how many things people would have recognized him in before Parks and Recreation, but Nick Offerman plays Ron Swanson, who is Leslie Knope's boss and the director of the Pawnee Parks and Recreation Department. I'm not sure if he was in much before this. This might have been one of his big turns, but you may also have seen him in Fargo, or more recently in the Hulu series Devs, which is a science fiction television series by Alex Garland. You may also recognize Ron's voice. He does do a lot of audiobook narrating, so you may actually have heard his voice if you listen to audiobooks.
There was one that he did. I don't remember the title or what it was about, but if you have an Audible account and you just search for Nick Offerman as a narrator, you'll see the list of all the things he's done. But yeah, like his voice is just so distinct and baritone. Is that the word?
I think that would be appropriate. Yeah, I think that's a good description of it. Yeah, it's very distinct, and I didn't know how much of the audio narrating he did. When I looked it up, I was like, wow, he's done a lot, but it doesn't surprise me because he has a voice that would be perfect for it.
Mm-hmm. And next up is Aubrey Plaza as April Ludgate. She starts out as an intern in the show. I know she's been in lots of stuff, but I don't know how popular Aubrey was when the show first got started. I know recently she's done Legion on FX. She's done bits of Drunk History. And I believe she did a film called Ingrid Goes West. And recently she voiced in The Legend of Korra.
Oh, awesome. I remember watching Parks and Rec when it was on broadcast television. I think that was the first thing I've ever seen her in. I love Aubrey Plaza. I will watch pretty much anything that she's in. And some things like Legion, she is phenomenal in Legion.
She's so amazing in that show. It's kind of creepy because her character is kind of creepy.
Well, pretty much any character that she plays is probably going to be kind of creepy. That's like her bread and butter. But yeah, I love Aubrey Plaza. She's fantastic.
But Legion itself is pretty trippy.
Yeah, it's probably hard for some people to get into. It's definitely trippy. It's a good show. I enjoyed it. But yeah, it's pretty trippy.
I tried to get into it because I do like the X-Men universe, but I couldn't.
Yeah, it's not the most easy to get into show. And it's one of those shows where you have to commit and it's easy to give up. I know a lot of people who gave up on it and just said, because it's weird. Sometimes it seems like it's weird just to be weird. So, yeah, it's not for everybody. But just watch it for Aubrey Plaza because she's great in her scenes. And she is paired with the next person. And for friends of mine who had never watched Parks and Rec when it was on broadcast television and have now started to watch it on streaming, the first thing anyone ever says is, Chris Pratt is in this? And Chris Pratt is the next character. He plays Andy Dwyer, which we now nerds and geeks might more familiarize him with his Marvel Universe character from the Guardians of the Galaxy. But he was also in the Jurassic World and also other movies as well. So you may actually think Chris Pratt, the movie guy, is in this. Yes, he is. This was one of the things at the very beginning of his career as well.
Just going off on a quick side tangent, it's so interesting to see how prestigious television has become over the decades because, you know, a long time ago, like, movies is where you wanted to be at when you were when you started out as an actor. And now it's like I'm seeing so many big names come up in television shows.
Oh, yeah. I think streaming has definitely changed things tremendously. Yeah, it's not... There used to be a lot of actors who would refuse to do television because, like you said, movies is where they wanted to go, not just for the money, but also for the prestige. And that seems to be reversing now. But we're definitely seeing, in this case, you're seeing Chris Pratt at the beginning of his career before he does movies. But that's... anytime I recommend the show to somebody, that's almost without... almost without exception, the first thing I hear back from them, Chris Pratt is in this? It's like, okay. There's lots of other people in it too, but yes, Chris Pratt is in this.
Next up, we have Aziz Ansari as Tom Haverford. He is another employee of the Parks Department. Aziz Ansari is... aside from Parks and Rec, I think now he's also pretty famous for his show with Alan Yong in Master of None, which is streaming on Netflix. I really enjoyed Master of None. It's they've only done two seasons, and from what I read online after season two ended, I don't think there's plans for a season three. And I'm kind of okay with that, even though I was sad that the show ended with just two seasons. I also like Aziz. I like his stand-up comedy as well. Right now, or I guess not right now, he's always done this. He voices Daryl, one of Tina Belcher's friends in Bob's Burgers. Daryl kind of pops up here and there, but the show's been going on for like 10 seasons, so...
Yeah, I really like his stand-up comedy, and I've only seen the first season of Master of None. So I like him as a performer, but spoiler alert, when we get into the spoilers, I'm not crazy about his character, but we'll get into that in the spoiler episode. But him as a performer, I really do like him. And I haven't seen the second season yet, but I did enjoy the first season of Master of None, and I do enjoy his stand-up comedy.
The second season is, it kind of starts off a little slow, but then it starts to pick back up.
I can kind of see that based on how the first season was, so I will eventually get around to that.
For sure.
So next up on our list is, if you haven't guessed yet, it's an ensemble cast. You might be thinking, hey, we're going through a lot of names. It's like, there are a lot of people in the show. So next up is Retta, who plays Donna Meagle, who is one of the, I guess she's the office manager of the Parks and Recreation office. You may recognize her probably from other things she did, because as we'll talk about in the spoiler episode, she doesn't have a very big role in Parks and Recreation. So she's probably known more for her other shows like Good Girls, Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce. She also wrote her own autobiography, which I guess I shouldn't say her own, because that's what autobiography means, Jim. Her autobiography, So Close to Being the Shit, y'all don't even know. Probably most people, I would guess, know her from, or would recognize her from Good Girls, would be my guess, because that's the other big thing that she's been in.
I listened to her autobiography, the audiobook version. I listened to it in like 2 days at work. And this was like 3 months ago, and I loved it. Of course, she's hilarious. I don't even think it's that long as an audiobook, so I highly recommend it. And then next up, we have Rashida Jones as Ann Perkins, who is a nurse and is Leslie's best friend on the show. Rashida Jones has been in Angie Tribeca. She is, I believe, plays the wife character in #BlackAF, which just came out on Netflix not too long ago. And currently, of course, because she and Amy Poehler are good friends, she voices the character Mia in Duncanville.
Cool. I have to admit that I gave up on Angie Tribeca. I did watch it. And I think maybe its first or second season, I just got tired of it. It's one of those really dumb, silly comedies, which I had to be in the right mood for. And it just got past my points, and I just kind of gave up on it. But I did enjoy it early on.
I never watched it, but after hearing you tell me that, I guess I don't have to.
It depends. I mean, dumb funny works for some people, but I mean, they really lean heavily into dumb funny. And some of it is funny, but for me, it gets old fast. I also know her from a lot of other things that she did. When the show first came on, I was like, hey, it's the girl from The Office. Because she had a small role on The Office too, but I've seen her in a lot of other things as well.
What else has Rashida Jones been in that I forgot to mention?
I know The Office, but although she was only on that for a couple of seasons, she got unpopular with fans because she kind of got in the middle of the Jim Pam romance because she was Jim's other girlfriend for a while when he left the office on The Office. So she became sort of like the woman who dated Ross on Friends that took Ross away from Rachel. So she got that kind of negative backlash. If that comparison makes sense to anyone, maybe it doesn't. But I think mostly I've seen her in movies. I'm not sure if there are other TV shows other than The Office off the top of my head that she's been in. I won't cheat and look it up on the internet because that's all I know off the top of my head.
Oh, it's fine.
So up next is Adam Scott, who plays Ben Wyatt, who comes to town as an auditor for the state of Indiana when Pawnee gets into some fiscal trouble. And I have always been a huge fan of Adam Scott, so I was super thrilled when he joined the cast. He's another one of those character arc actors that you probably recognize him when you see him, but you might not know his name. So he has been in a couple of other things like Big Little Lies. He had a small recurring role in The Good Place. He was also in Step Brothers. He was in the Party Down, which is the catering company comedy that only lasted for a couple of seasons. So he's been in a few things. And again, he's one of those guys that's like, oh, that guy. But you might not know his name, Adam Scott. I've always enjoyed most of the things he's in. He's a great character actor, and he really added an excellent element to this show when he joined the cast.
Oh, for sure. I have so many good things to say about his character, but we'll save that for the spoiler episode. And then next we have Rob Lowe as Chris Traeger. He comes into the show at the same time as Adam Scott's character, Ben Wyatt. Rob Lowe is pretty, I would say he's pretty famous. I mean, he's the first time I ever saw him in something was in The Outsiders. And I think I was like watching that movie because I read the book in high school or something. But he was really good in that one. I liked him in that. Very, very handsome. he's also been in Wayne's World. He was in the show's The Grinder that I think it only lasted like a season or something and then got canceled.
I was disappointed, but I liked The Grinder. I thought that show was funny.
Oh, okay. I don't know what it was about, but I remember that it was... I remember he starred as like the titular character.
Yeah, he was The Grinder. Like, it's a show with it on the show, not to take a tangent, sorry. Just because it was one of those shows I was so disappointed it got canceled. He plays an actor who is in a TV show called The Grinder, where he plays a lawyer.
So it's very meta.
But in the show, his brother, played by Fred Savage, is a real life lawyer. And when Rob Lowe's character quits his TV show, he goes back to his hometown and he basically becomes a legal consultant at his family law firm and annoys the crap out of Fred Savage, who is a real lawyer, because every episode, Rob Lowe's character is like, it's just like this episode on my TV show. And they do like this little dramatic like reenactment of his TV show. It was just funny to me. It was kind of stupid. But it's just like, Rob Lowe is one of those character actors. It always amazes me how he can seem different. Even though you see him in a lot of things, you don't think, oh, he's just playing himself again. He finds a way to be different enough that you can see him as a different character. But yeah, his character in The Grinder is over the top ridiculous. The other thing that I loved about The Grindr is Natalie Morales is also in The Grindr, who has a very small role in Parks and Recreation as Tom's girlfriend. So it only lasted for one season, but The Grindr was a very funny TV show.
All right.
Sorry for taking you on that Rob Lowe tangent there. You were saying he was in other things other than The Grindr before I interrupted you.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. It's always nice to have very passionate, enthusiastic guests. One more thing. He was in ABC's family drama, Brothers and Sisters. Which I've only watched a few episodes of. I think I would be into it now if it aired now, to be honest, but I don't know if it's streaming anywhere.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I didn't see all of it, but I remember some of it. The other thing that I always remember Rob Lowe from is The West Wing.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Oh, you know, if Isaac was here, he would totally have said that.
Because he's one of those guys who has done both serious roles and comedic roles, but it seems like more people are familiar with his comedic stuff. Although, actually, that's not true, because The Outsiders is on this list, too. So he has done both. But yeah, the West Wing always pops up in my mind first as a much more serious television show that he was on. But he's also been in tons of movies, too. He's one of those weird people that doesn't seem to age. Like, he looks the same as he did, like, 20 years ago. I don't know how old he is in real life, but he's kind of like Tom Cruise like that. It's like, he just doesn't seem to get old. Last up on the list of the primary characters on the show, and is the one that's another sort of minor character, is Jim O'Hare, who plays... We'll explain why it's funny that he's called Jerry when we get to the spoiler episode. His character's name is not actually Jerry, but he is called Jerry in the show. I have to admit that I really haven't seen him in many other things. I know he's currently in Bless This Mess, but he's one of those people who's had a lot of small roles in a lot of television series and TV movies over the years. So he's one of those character actors that you never really take notice of. But if you take a look at the list of things he's been in, you're like, wow, he's been in a lot of stuff. But he's definitely not someone who's going to be a recognizable name.
Oh, yeah, for sure. This is literally the only show I've seen him in.
Yeah, when I looked at like the list of things he's been in, it's like, I was like, wow, that's a pretty impressive list. I don't remember him being in any of those things, but... But he is good in the limited role that they use him in Parks and Recreation.
Next up, we have a section to talk about five fun facts about Parks and Recreation. I pulled these fun facts from a Mental Floss article. So I will link it in our episode description when this publishes. But yeah, I just figured just something else to inform the audience about the show if they haven't watched it. Would you like to start off with the first fun fact?
Certainly. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Mental Floss. They're a good resource for things exactly like this. And I think these do help you give you a little bit of some interesting background information about the show. First up is that the show was originally titled Public Service. But NBC decided to change it just 2 months before the series premiere because the producers were concerned that the show would be misperceived as making fun of public service. Because like some of my friends is like, Parks and Recreation? That's a show? Is that a documentary on A&E or something? It's like, no, it was originally going to be called Public Service. But because it is a comedy, the producers were concerned that name might have made fun of public service, which is definitely not implied. Even though it is a comedy, they are definitely not making fun of public service.
And then the next fun fact is that the character, April Ludgate, was actually written just for Audrey Plaza because the casting director, Allison Jones, had told Mike Schur that she had just met, quote, the weirdest girl. End quote.
That is completely believable, and I can definitely see that. Again, I'm not sure what else she might have been in before this, but yeah. she is definitely someone you will take notice of whatever she's in, because she has such a unique personality. So third up, there is actually an official book about Pawnee. Pawnee is a fictional town, so it's not, there isn't actually a Pawnee, Indiana. But on the show, Leslie, who was just basically crazy about knowing every last little detail about her town, writes a book about the town. And the book that's shown on the show, there's one just like it that you actually can buy, that obviously it's fictional, but it's actually pretty funny and entertaining. And it gives you a little bit of insight into the type of humor that is in the show. So I thought it was funny that there actually was a real book that you could get, just like the one in the show.
Yeah, you can. I'll link it in the description as well, but it's available on Amazon. And then for fun fact, I guess this isn't so much fun as just a fact, sort of. I don't know. I'm messing this up already. Okay. So the show received bad reviews in its first season. Some critics compared it to The Office, but the reception of the show turned once season 2 came out. So it seems like they were obviously renewed for a second season, and the showrunners actually took the critical feedback that they got and made the show better in season 2.
Oh, definitely. Did you watch it when it was on broadcast television?
Oh, nah, man.
About to say, yeah, it was probably a little bit too soon for you. I did, and the first season was only 6 episodes, and I was like, that show's getting canceled.
Oh, you actually thought that?
Yes, I watched the first, I mean, it ends better than it begins, but when I watched it, when it was on broadcast television, I was like, whoa, I don't think they're bringing that back. The fact that people were comparing it heavily to The Office is, again, like I had noted earlier, it was originally going to be a spinoff of The Office, and I think that might have maybe too heavily influenced critics to expect too much like that. But yeah, the first season's rough, but they did, like you said, they took the criticism to heart, and they did a great job, and we'll get into some of the details in the spoiler episode, of turning things around. And from the second season through the rest of its run, it was very well received by critics. The first season is pretty much the only one that I think that ever got bad reviews.
I mean, honestly, if you're going to binge it, you can literally start with season 2.
You really can. You wouldn't be lost. I mean, because it's only 6 episodes.
It's very episodic.
Yeah, so you wouldn't miss anything. In fact, it might even be a decent recommendation to just start with season 2. There's only one, well, even the minor plot point that you would miss gets referred to repeatedly. So you wouldn't miss any major story points, because again, there's only 6 episodes in the first season anyway.
Yeah, and like they have flashbacks sometimes to the first season. So if you skip the first season, it's not a huge deal.
Yeah. And believe me, you will probably enjoy the show more if you start with the second season.
I did, because that's how I first watched the show.
That makes perfect sense. So our fifth and final fun fact, which I actually didn't know this, but it makes sense, because I was kind of confused why Ron Swanson is the way he is. But the character Ron Swanson, played by Nick Offerman, is actually loosely based on a real-life government official. The co-creators of the show really like the idea of Leslie's boss being anti-government, and is actually based on a real libertarian official in Burbank, California, which actually helps explain some things to me, because I was always kind of confused why the character is the way he is, or why he even works for the government. So knowing that it was actually based on a real-life government official really helped me understand more about Ron, which is funny because Ron's my favorite character, and I never actually knew that about him.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, Mental Floss does great articles of stuff like this.
Yes, they're a great resource. I check them out all the time.
Okay, and last, to wrap up this episode, we're going to talk about reasons why we think geeks should watch Parks and Recreation, and I will start first. pretty much all my reasons, they're not geek-centric. I mean, the only geek in the show is Ben, and he's one of my top favorite characters. But the show features really strong women. Leslie is, of course, a strong woman. Donna is, like, my second favorite strong woman on the show. April's a really great character, too. The cast is fairly diverse. April and Donna, Tom, they're all people of color on the show, so that's like half of the main cast. I think for its time, because it started in 2009, I think for its time it was pretty diverse.
Yeah, I would agree. It was back before people were really talking about the needs for diversity.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in terms of both, diversity in terms of the fact that there are so many female characters, but also racial and ethnic diversity. So I did applaud the show for having that in it, because you would think, not to be too overly generic, but you don't really think of Indiana as a very diverse part of the United States. So I applaud them for making sure that there was diversity in the casting, and it is a very good cast from that perspective.
For sure. Ultimately, the show has a lot of heart, and it gives you, as a viewer, a sense of unity because these characters are all connected. There's a good balance of good humor and emotions, and the show doesn't take itself too seriously. So I would say that overall, it's one of those classic sitcoms where you can rewatch and you can watch and rewatch and play in the background because it's very comforting and feel good.
Yes. Not quite as comforting as a plate of JJ's waffles, but close. Sorry, that's a geeky reference to something on the show. But yes, I agree. That makes perfect sense. My perspective and recommendations for why geeks and non-geeks should watch it is actually quite similar. It is a very quirky show. It might be a little bit of a difficult for some people to get into. It might be a bit of an acquired taste. And as we already said, the series definitely gets off to a stumbling start, but it quickly develops into consistently entertaining and occasionally moving television. It's also not what I call a traditional sitcom. So it's not a filmed in front of a live audience or laugh track type of thing. Or even in traditional sitcoms, they're usually very joke driven and the characters are set and they never evolve. This is more of a character and story driven show. So the characters do evolve. There are stories that are beyond the boundaries of a single episode, sometimes carrying over an entire season, which is not something you see in a lot of sitcoms. So there is very good character and plot development. For anyone who might be concerned about political satire, it's for a political satire show, it doesn't really get very political. I think it's kind of saved by the fact that it's local politics. So I don't think there's anything, very little chance that you will be offended or find anything controversial about the quote-unquote political aspects of the show. And it focuses mainly on the interpersonal relationships between the characters and the friendships, love, and support that they have for each other. And that's what really drives the show for both its funny and touching moments.
Thank you so much for that explanation, Jim. And thanks in general for just coming on to the show. That is a wrap for the spoiler-free preview. So if Parks and Recreation is still on your queue, you better go watch it, okay?
Yes, between now and our next episode where we talk about the spoilers, you have to watch the entire show.
But we both agree, it is okay to skip season one.
Yes. Almost recommended.
You know, I'm so glad you feel the same way as I do, because I'm a binge watcher, but sometimes there's just those seasons that just don't work out. And if that happens, it's okay to just move on.
It's especially easy with this show because most of the other seasons are 20 plus episodes. And the first season was only 6 episodes because I think it was a mid-season replacement, which is a term we don't really hear in television much anymore, that it wasn't in this television broadcast television schedule for the entire season, which is why I had an abbreviated first season. If it had a full first season, like the same number of episodes that the other seasons had, I think it could have been in trouble. Because if that first season kept going for almost 20 episodes, that would have been rough to watch. But they definitely, like you said earlier, they took the criticism to heart and they made some important changes and they hit the ground running with season two. And it takes off from there and it stays consistently good all the way through to the end for me.
All righty. Well, thanks again and stick around for the next episode. Thanks for listening to the Bingeables podcast.
We hope you join us on this binge-watching journey.
Before you leave, please consider leaving a review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
And if you enjoy listening to this episode and all our other podcast episodes, please consider giving us your support on Patreon for as little as $1 a month. Just visit patreon.com/bingeablespod. That's patreon.com/bingeablespod.
You can also connect with us on Twitter at BingeablesPod, or you can email us at BingeablesPod@gmail.com.
Until next time.
The Bingeables Podcast is produced by patron Raymond G.
And the music you're listening to is Shaving Mirror by Kevin McLeod.